Hey y'all, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So with this introduction of John, giving myself away here, of John, there's several important things going on. First of all, notice how much Luke wants to ground everything in history. He puts the ministry of John in the context of sort of secular political leaders. In other words, he names all these men who are governors of these various regions in and around Israel. So puts it in the timeline of those people, but he also puts it in the timeline of important religious leaders in Israel. So I would connect this with the kings. If you go back to the book of 1 Kings, usually one king is mentioned in the context of the year of another king. So it's grounding everything in history. It's grounding everything in its relation to what's going on in the world. And this is important because the gospel of Jesus is not presented as a wonderful mythological story. It is grounded and rooted in history. If it didn't happen in history, then as Paul says, we are of all men most to be pitied. So it's very important that Luke wants to ground it in that historical context. In addition, notice how John is presented. He is described with words that are very similar to the ways in which many of the prophets are described. In other words, it tells about the time of their ministry, and it says that the word of God came to them, and it says where they were living. And so John is presented as an Old Testament prophet. Indeed, as Jesus will eventually say, he's the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. So this is all very significant. Notice then that he's ministering in the wilderness around the Jordan. This is important for several reasons. First, of course, it's the wilderness. So that opens up Israel's time in the wilderness, which points back to Moses' time in the wilderness. So the wilderness is sort of the reboot setting for God's people, right? Whenever there's a new moment in the history of God's people, there's often a time in the wilderness. But it's even more significant than that, because if you look again in 1 and 2 Kings, Elijah ministered in and around the Jordan wilderness, and Elijah will pass on the baton of his ministry to Elisha after crossing the Jordan, and then Elisha will come back. So that connects John to this whole biblical theme of him being Elijah, the one who will make the way for Elisha. And think about how that happens several ways. Remember, Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Well, if you go back and count in 1 and 2 Kings, Elisha does precisely double the number of miracles that Elijah did. So that was fulfilled there. But we are to see Jesus as the new Elisha, taking over the reins from his predecessor, John the Baptist, or Elijah. And we can also say that what you have here is a passing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. John is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets because he makes way for the new era when Jesus comes along. So all of this is going on in the background here, and Luke wants us to notice all these themes. Notice, too, what John is doing. He is calling people to a baptism of repentance. Wow. Well, there's so many things that we could mention here. First of all, this should remind us of the crossing of the Red Sea when Israel went and escaped Egypt and the Egyptians were drowned and Israel was made a nation and they were saved. But it should also remind us of the first crossing of the Jordan when Moses passed the baton to Joshua and initiated a new era in the people of God, the taking of the promised land. So once again, there's this connection with the Jordan River, with crossing the Jordan River, and with a the passing of a baton to a new generation. And what we're seeing is that John actually went to the east side of the Jordan and baptized people, and it's probable that they were literally following in the footsteps of the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea and following in the footsteps of Elisha as he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" and struck the water with his mantle. So they are following in these footsteps. It is a new Exodus. It is a new conquest of the promised land. We have a new Elisha, a new Joshua in the person of Jesus, who's going to lead his people in what? Repentance, right? Repentance is this change of how we view God, ourselves, and others. And honestly, how you view God, yourself, and others affects everything that you think about and is at the root of most people's either blessing or curses in their life. So repentance is an enormous theme, being caught up in the purposes of God, the direction of God, the cause of God in history now through Jesus Christ. And then we have this quotation from Isaiah, which is significant. All the gospel writers quote it. They almost all quote the same section, although Luke quotes a little bit longer section. And it opens up this theme of a great reversal getting ready to take place. And this should remind us of all the great reversals of Scripture, right? That a barren, elderly man and woman are going to be keys to the fruitfulness of the earth. That a lowly shepherd from the wilderness is going to conquer, with the help of God, Egypt, the greatest empire in the world. Right, it opens up this great repeated biblical theme that God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And so we're setting up this story of Jesus and his great redemption in Luke through reminding everyone that God is the God of reversals. He is the one that likes to take what is not and treat it as though it is, make it as though it is, call things that are not as though they were. And in this case, call what looks like an obscure Jewish peasant, he is going to turn out to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And again, notice that Luke wants to evoke this great prophetic tradition that goes back to Isaiah, that began with Elisha. You could even say it goes back to Moses, these great spokespeople for God who are speaking to the people of God. So may we, by the grace of God, receive and live in the repentance that he grants through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of the Spirit. Amen.